Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And now to the Syrian peace talks. The bloodshed continues even as the peace conference is ongoing in Switzerland. Mortar shells struck the capital of Syria today, and rebel groups there say more than 1,000 people have been killed in the civil war so far this month alone. Today's meetings in Geneva follow yesterday's bitter opening statements by Syria's foreign minister and the leader of the Syrian opposition group attending the talks. The BBC's Imogen Folks joins us with more. And Imogen, the goal is to get these two Syrian delegations into the same room tomorrow for face-to-face talks. So tell us, what's happening in Geneva today to try to achieve that?
Well, where we are now, in fact, and where all the diplomats have moved on to is the United Nations in Geneva in preparation for what many people hope will really be meaningful and constructive talks at the United Nations. Here, we know that the UN mediator, Lakhdar Brahimi, is holding separate talks with the leader of the Syrian government delegation and also with the leader of the Syrian opposition delegation, not together. That crucial face-to-face meeting won't happen until Friday. Now, we, as you said in your introduction, it was very bitter, very acrimonious in Montreux on Wednesday. Everybody's hoping that here in Geneva, with a kind of peace and serenity around the UN here, that things will be a little bit different. As you say, the fighting goes on in Syria and the peace talks haven't quite started here yet. So we have to wait and see.
Imogen, that reference you made to the crucial face-to-face meeting, is there any doubt that it will actually happen?
Well, it was a little bit of surprise for us to hear the UN envoy, Lakhdar Brahimi, say at the close of the first day in Montreux that he needed to talk to the two sides separately first, a kind of an admission that he wasn't quite sure that the peace talks, these long-awaited peace talks, would go as we had been told they would go, which would be face-to-face meetings. And we have seen this real anger from both sides, both of them accusing the other of starting the war, both of them accusing the other of atrocities, having the blood of Syrians on their hands. Now, it may be that they were a little bit playing to their constituents back home, because obviously that first day was all televised live. Maybe they are ready to go into a meeting room together and talk in a more constructive manner. But I think that the UN diplomats are also concerned about the nature of the bitterness, the strength of the bitterness, which was on show in Montreux.
And is your sense that the mediator wanted separate meetings first to basically feel out their priorities and maybe try to cool tempers before they meet together?
I think that's absolutely right, yes. And I think he's trying to, yes, assess what they're prepared to talk about. Because obviously, if you just get them into a room together and the opposition says, we're not talking to you until President Assad goes, and the government says, we're not talking about President Assad going at all, that's not on the table, well, conversation over. They might as well just go back to the airport.
Right.
So I think Lakhdar Brahimi is hoping that he can find some common ground on more modest things, but important things for people in Syria. For example, better access for aid agencies. We know hundreds of thousands of people are short of food and medicine, or perhaps small local ceasefires, not a nationwide one, but maybe a local one. That would be something as well. So I think he's hoping that he can explore discussions on that level with them separately. Maybe on Friday, then they will go in together and talk about that. And, you know, peace doesn't happen overnight, and certainly not after a long and bitter conflict like this one. So they have to start somewhere, and a little bit of relief for Syria's civilians would be as good a place as any, perhaps the best.
Right, and maybe that work in advance will ultimately lead to more productive talks in the end. Imogen, I want to play some tape of Bashar al-Jafari, who's Syria's permanent representative to the UN. Here's what he said yesterday.
We need to put an end to the terrorism, to the violence, because the political settlement cannot go in line, cannot go hand by hand with the terrorism.
And we could hear someone's phone going off there. But the point that he makes is that this is what the Assad regime has been saying all along, that this is not a popular uprising. It's terrorism. And then today, the leader of al-Qaeda released a recording in which he says that rival Islamic groups should stop fighting each other and focus on fighting President Assad's forces in Syria. How would you say that this fits into whether or not these talks, these peace talks, will really make a difference?
I think it's another indication that all of the many groups now fighting in Syria are jockeying for position a little bit. The Syrian government has its interpretation of things, where, in which, of course, it is under attack from terrorism and this needs to be defeated. The opposition has its take that we started as peaceful demonstrations for democracy and the government cracked down on us and started killing us. But we do know that, obviously, the opposition is fragmented now. There are many different groups, and only part of the opposition is actually here. We know that they had long and agonizing discussions about whether they should come at all. So I think it is certainly going to be a positive move if the government and the opposition that's here get into a negotiating room and start talking about not fighting, maybe talking about better access for aid agencies. But on the ground, we have seen fighting going on today, and we have these groups who've said they don't recognize Geneva, that nothing that's decided here in Geneva will mean anything to them at all. So it's, as we were saying earlier, peace does not happen overnight, and these will be very, very long and complicated negotiations, which will probably eventually have to bring in other groups as well.
That's the BBC's Imogen Folk speaking to us from Geneva. Imogen, thanks very much for updating us on the Syrian peace talks.
Thanks to you.
You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.